Today, we're rewinding to the early 2000s, a golden era of chunky plastics, questionable design choices and genuinely groundbreaking tech, from gadgets that changed the game to ones that we're still weirdly nostalgic about. This is the best tech from the 2000s that we miss.
I'm so looking forward to this. But before we get into the show, quick question. What's the one thing guaranteed to put you off doing anything productive?
A queue.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if it's 1 minute, 5 minutes, 20 minutes. We don't queue well in the UK.
Which is why most people haven't sold their old tech. Not because they don't want to. It's just the effort.
CX have basically solved it. All right. It's called drop and go. You set up everything online, walk in, drop your stuff off and leave. And crucially, you still get paid cash or credit straight back to you.
So all that gear that you've been ignoring suddenly becomes worth dealing with.
And if you're on the buying side, it's the same story. Loads of properly tested, refurbished tech ready to go again.
Yeah, and with a 5-year warranty, which is still better than most brand new kit.
Yeah, and of course, no queues. Less waste and potentially more money in your pocket.
Head to WeBuy.com, try drop and go, or pop into your local CEX store and make your old tech work for you.
Before we get stuck in, if you're enjoying the Gadget Show podcast, and I know I am, do us a quick favour. Please subscribe, hit the favourite thumbs up thingy, leave a comment. Look, I know it's a bit of a bore, but if you could do it, it would help because it spreads the word and we get to do more good stuff. The more people that are excited about the show.
And you'll never miss an episode.
Yes.
Now, it's a full house again this week, which I'm glad to say. Both John and Otis are back with us.
Hi.
And this week, we're getting properly nostalgic, diving back into the tech that we loved in the noughties. Mm-hmm. When gadgets had personality, buttons were everywhere.
You do like buttons, don't you?
I love a physical button. Yeah. I do, and especially if it's orange. And everything seemed to make a noise. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick two gadgets each, stuff that we tested back in the day. We're going to vouch for them. We're going to say why they're great, what made us still love them, what was so special about them, and then we're going to have a vote on our favourite. And no, you can't vote for your own. So, okay. Then we're going to crown our favourite gadget of the 2000s. Have you got it? Understand?
Well, I've got way too many.
You're up first.
Am I up first?
Yes.
Oh, God. All right. Well, basically, so many gadgets. What a period it was. So, obviously the gadget show had just started.
Yeah, 2004.
Yeah. And so it's a difficult one, but I'm going to start, if I may, with the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
This was when gaming, you know, wasn't just evolving. It already evolved, and then it exploded. Launched in 2005, so smack in the middle of the noughties. It went on to sell, are you ready for this, 85 million units worldwide.
I mean, wow. That's a few.
They shifted a few, didn't they?
That is a thing, isn't it?
Yep.
But the real story is, you know, is kind of what it enabled, right? So this is where online gaming became mainstream. Mm. Xbox Live, which seems like it's been around forever, obviously will always be connected with the launch of the Xbox 360. Voice chat, matchmaking achievements, not things that couldn't be done, very much so. They were already hugely well supported on the PC platform, but in a console, in an affordable piece of front room technology that normal people, not just hardcore gamers, could really understand and use. And of course, Halo 3, making over $170 million in the first 24 hours.
Yeah,
incredible.
Amazing.
Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, rewrote the rule book, and they've, you know, arguably never been able to get back there, although that's a little bit controversial. It wasn't just a console, guys. It was a cultural hub, you know, the centre of a cultural movement. And it went further. It became one of the true first entertainment platforms. So Netflix arrived on the Xbox 360 in 2008, long before smart TVs were a thing. Films, of course, you could download films. They didn't get everything right, but you could download films. You could have a bit of Netflix. If you compare it to today, modern consoles are fantastic, epic experience. They stand on the shoulders of consoles like the Xbox 360. But, you know, subscriptions, battle passes, constant updates, microtransactions have been a bit of a pest on the modern, you know, in terms of modern consoles. So gaming can now feel a little bit more like a kind of commercial service in which you're not necessarily benefiting too much. Whereas the Xbox 360, for me, it felt like a customer-orientated, complete entertainment experience. You bought a game physically.
You played it.
You played it. Yeah. No friction, no noise, just great gaming. So that's my first choice for, you know, epic gadgets from the noughties, the Xbox 360.
I think that's coming. You've come in at a very high bar.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, that. Yeah. What's your second one?
Okay, I'd like to say now, I'd like to change gear, right? Into cruise mode, Jonathan.
Oh.
Ooh. Like in a Volvo estate now, and I'm just cruising a little bit. And whereas I was in a bit of a Ferrari for the opening. And this is the Bluetooth headset. Now, it may feel normal now with your AirPods and you know, your modern smartphone, sort of with Bluetooth very much being the norm. But for most people, Bluetooth as a wireless connecting protocol was first experienced in these strange single-ear Bluetooth communication devices that became a status symbol in the way that, you know, a striped shirt and a tie did in the 80s. You know, the Wall Street types were all walking around London with
the little flashing earpieces.
Yes, yeah. With a little pull-down microphone addition. It looked strange at first. In fact, they were, from a form factor point of view, rather odd. But the idea that you were always reachable, that you were hands-free on your new smart device was pretty mould-breaking, actually.
I like that your cultural reference was Wall Street types walking around London, whereas mine was African uncles trying to look the business.
Yeah, and so I think in terms of kind of, you know, a platform launcher.
Also, what were the Wall Street types doing in London? I thought that's where you were going to go with that.
You know, the city types, I meant that. I realised, as I said that, I actually going to pick me up on that. But I'm sure the Wall Street types in New York were also walking around, swaggering around with their often blue, silver,
flashing ears.
Mm. A platform starter, so meaning Bluetooth, launched the concept of Bluetooth to most people, and the kind of pressure then for product designers to make wireless communications devices for all of their mobile phones.
Yeah, vastly important.
Yeah.
I mean, like you say, it's a gear change from what you started with, Xbox, but you've got a sexy one there, but you've got a really important one that has, you know, clearly kind of jumped forward to what is so normal now and yet was so useful at the time.
Yeah.
And now we just consider it de rigueur, don't we? Mm-hmm. Really? Yep.
There's that word again, de rigueur.
De rigueur.
Nice pairing, Jace.
Otis, would you like to go next?
Yes, I would like to offer up to. Right, so my offering, the first of my pairing, is the Flip Video.
Oh, I had one of those.
Mate.
I had a multitude of Flip Videos. The Flip Video camera was first released in 2006. This is one of those gadgets that quietly changed behaviour on a massive scale. So before smartphones were any good at taking video, filming was complicated, camcorders were bulky, settings were confusing, and a lot of people, myself included, just didn't bother. Then this came along, one button, record, that was it. No menus, no setup, no friction. That simplicity unlocked something huge, because suddenly everyone and anyone could film, or is it anyone and everyone could film, not just big moments, but everyday life. Flip sold over 2 million units in just a couple of years. And for a time, it was the best-selling camcorder in the US. It didn't just capture memories, it changed how people shared them. Now, if you take a look at today, smartphones shoot in 4K, some even in 8K, with stabilization, HDR, editing tools. But that complexity can get in the way. The Flip Video was instant, pick it up, push a button, capture the moment, no thinking. And sometimes that simplicity is exactly what modern tech has lost.
Yeah.
I think it's really a good call.
I've not thought about it.
Yeah. Because I mean, we're all doing all these things, looking at sort of lo-fi cameras of one sort or another, and buying them new. Whereas actually, you can just go onto eBay, especially find one that runs on AA batteries, and get one of these things for 10 or 20 quid, and you can do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So why bother with all the...
Otis, did it have the USB in it? You pulled it up and you could stick it directly into the computer.
Some of them did, yeah. Yeah,
so you didn't even need a cable.
That's it.
No, you didn't need a cable.
So,
what happened
to
them?
I've not thought about it. Sorry, sir. I have not thought about the Flip Video. since I had one.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. We all had one because, I mean, I used mine a lot. I remember I loved it as well and it was so simple to use. I'm just wondering what happened to them. Did they get bought out by somebody, swallowed up by a conglomerate, or did they go bump? And what happened to Flip?
So in 2011, we got married and we had one on each table and encouraged our guests to make videos. And the plan was to collate all of those clips into, you know, one amazing long form video, which I never got around to doing.
Yeah.
Have you still got the footage?
Probably
have
still got the footage, yeah.
Right, our gadget show competition is now live, but not for much longer. And you could win £5,000 to spend at CX. Yes, £5,000. And this one is just for our Patreon listeners. So you're not up against the entire internet. Your odds are actually pretty decent.
Yeah. To enter, head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and sign up for one of our paid tiers. They start at about the price of a cup of coffee. Light, mid, or max. And that's not the coffee. Those are the tiers.
Okay, thank you. Light gets you one entry, mid gets you three, and max gets you five. So if you fancy tipping the odds in your favour, then obviously that's the one.
Okay, so when you've done that, you just then send us a DM, direct message, within the Patreon app with your answer to the following question. When did The Gadget Show first air on TV? Was it A, 2002, B, 2004, C, 2006, or D, 2007?
And don't forget, you're not just entering the competition.
Yeah, you'll get ad-free episodes, early access, and bonus bits.
And on the max, you get the full Gadget Show archive, 20 years, nearly 500 episodes. It's all there.
Can we just check with our team via this intercom system that links to Los Angeles? Does that include every episode of The Gadget?
It does.
He's actually just stood over there. Yeah. I mean, that's great. That's absolutely mega, plus original stuff. I know, because I've filmed some of it in my lockup and, you know, my playthrough recently of Ark Raiders, and Susie's done loads of cool content as well. So, yeah, get on board.
But best of all, better odds, loads of extras, and a shot at a £5,000 tech shopping spree. But don't hang about, because entries close soon. Head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow to get involved.
Full terms and conditions are linked in this episode.
Strong start, Otis?
Good
yes,
one.
Yes, I think so. That is a strong start.
Very simple, cheap, brilliant start.
Okay, so my second offering is the BlackBerry.
How interesting.
Now, this was the original mobile powerhouse.
Yeah.
At its peak, BlackBerry had around 20% of the global smartphone market, with over 150 million devices sold. And it wasn't about entertainment, remember. This was about productivity. This was business.
Crackberry. No,
business.
I had that thought in my head and I thought, maybe not. No, this was business.
Yeah, exactly.
Emails delivered instantly. Push email.
Yep.
Changing everything.
Push email.
Push
email. BBM. One of the first true mobile messaging platforms.
Yes.
And that physical keyboard. Oh. That physical keyboard, fast.
I love a
precise,
physical button.
Satisfying. Mm. This was your office in your pocket.
Oh, man, you've sold
it. Do you want to come to my office in my pocket?
Do you want to come in my pocket? You can't say
easy,
that.
Easy. A request that has to be worded very carefully. For the first time, work didn't stop when you left your desk or left the office because you took your office with you. Now, compare that to today's smartphones. Yes, they're more powerful. Yes, they're more capable, but they're more distracting.
You're not kidding.
Notifications, apps, social media, constant noise. The BlackBerry was focused, man. It did a few things, and it did them brilliantly. Communication, productivity, efficiency, zero distractions. And in a world now full of digital clutter, the focus feels more valuable than ever.
And I'm transfixed by your pitch.
I love you, BlackBerry. That was very good.
Thank you.
Good, mate.
I like both of those. Very different as well. I like the fact
that
both chosen very like, sort of flippy, different ideas.
Flippy, different ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah,
that's
what I've done there.
You didn't just do the flip. You flipped the narrative.
It's the big bucks. It's really quite flippy.
Well, I'm quite intrigued by gadgets and technology from the 2000s that I'm actually still using today, 20 years on.
Excellent.
Wow. Okay.
So, it's going to be good.
One thing I want to make a strong case for is the Nikon D3 I acquired in 2007. For me, that was an absolute revolution in digital cameras because, I mean, you could really shoot in very low light with it. You've got these... at that time, completely unprecedented ability to shoot practically in the dark. Mm. Now take it all for granted, obviously.
But you couldn't then.
You couldn't then. Mm. So this was the first thing. It was a full-frame camera, superb image quality, lovely colour reproduction, very fast as well, very responsive. No shutter delay, if you remember, was always a problem back then. First camera with absolutely no shutter delay at all, and I could use all the old Nikon lenses on it as well. And over the passage of time, the funny thing is with it is that it's the picture quality has almost got better because I think back then we used to think all digital cameras, the digital image was more or less the same. All that was all, you might have, some were better resolution, some of this, but these have a sort of certain subjective, magical, luminescent colour reproduction that's just lovely. And they've become, both the D3 and as well the D700, which shares exactly the same, but is in a smaller body, sensor and colour processing and so on. They're still sought after today, 20 years later. People are still using them. I had a problem with my flat modern mirrorless camera through a wobbly when I had an important shoot to do in a studio. I put the D3 out of the cupboard, fired it up, and got some superb shots for it. Nearly 20 years.
A little warhorse of a camera, isn't it?
Warhorse, but also with tremendous aesthetic sort of qualities as well, which aren't necessarily matched by a lot of other more modern, more sophisticated cameras. So that's one thing I would make a case for. And the second thing I want to make a case for is actually something that we all take for granted, but I think perhaps we don't appreciate fully how revolutionary it was at the time, which is, of all things, the USB drive. Not flashy, no pun intended, but absolutely essential. I mean, before this, moving files was an absolute nightmare. Those 1.44 megabyte floppy disks.
Yeah, floppy disks.
And then optical things came, but they could be slow and unreliable. But very soon, you could drag and drop something onto something literally the size of your thumb, really. And
They called them a thumb drive.
They did indeed. And by the mid-2000s, they were everywhere. Offices, schools, universities. I mean, they're not a perfect technology because... So until the USB-C came along, there's all that terribly irritating, was it the right way around and all, and that sort of issue. Also, it could be easily lost and so on, but it still sort of revolutionised our ability to move data. And even in today's world of cloud storage and file sharing and streaming, everything's online, they're still in some ways more convenient. There's nobody trying to get you into a subscription, nobody
yes, so physically there, isn't it,
it's
in your hand.
It's actually there, reassuring, and all... ever cheaper. I know we're currently going through a bit of a storage price crisis, but you still can't remember. They're still, in spite of all that, they're still very cheap, very convenient, and have a certain powerful simplicity, I think.
Well, also, I think a lot of it kind of escalated because it was easy for companies to brand them. So, yes. Every time you went to an event, you got a free USB stick, didn't you? It was branded, and some of them were quite cool. And
you'd carry them on your keychain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they were, we all had them on our key rings, exactly, and in our bags. And just using, you still can use them today. Again, John, some very different, two very different gadgets there that you've chosen.
Mm. Thank you.
Yes.
Right, so well, she's up.
Just me then.
She's up.
I think you'll know what I'm going to go for first. I know. I always go there.
Cat seat. Is it a cat seat?
It's not the cat seat. Oh, okay. My first offering is the mighty iPod. Come on. A cultural moment, obviously. It launched in 2001, eventually selling over 400 million units. And it completely changed the way we listen to music, didn't it? You remember 1,000 songs in your pocket? That was the pitch. And it really delivered. No more CDs, no more skipping tracks, no more carrying cases around. Your entire music library instantly accessible in your pocket. And those little white headphones became iconic. It wasn't just a gadget, it was a statement. Mm. And, I always felt like it was like a piece of jewellery. And it was unisex. It was beautifully designed in that white. And we all wanted one. It kind of woke the consumer gadget market up, I really felt. Mm. Compare that to today, streaming service, infinite music, instant access to everything ever made, but also less ownership. So, you know, less sort of desirability in a way, less connection,
and
curation
curation as well.
Yeah.
You'd take your time, wouldn't you?
Scarcity does bring real appreciation value to things.
Well, it's, you know, it's also, it's like talking about vinyl in a way, the same thing, you know, that kind of the ownership and curating your music yourself. And it's just, it's yours.
And Susie, could I ask, which incarnation of iPod are you going for? Are you going buttons or jog wheel?
That's difficult, isn't it? Yeah. So buttons were first. Yes. I love a button.
Yeah. You love a button.
I do, but I love the jog wheel. Mm. Should we go jog wheel?
Yeah.
Let's go jog wheel.
100%. Yeah. How? I just want to go and fiddle with it right now.
I never owned one. I always wanted one, but something didn't... do you know what that something was? It was Sony. I went with Sony.
You went a bit Sony at that time, didn't you?
You didn't go with Zune.
No, I didn't.
No, you were Sony.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just feel like it made your, you know, your tracks personal. Yeah. Your choice was personal, curated. You knew every track, you knew every album, and it wasn't endless. It was meaningful. Mm. And I think that's something that modern day has lost its meaning a little bit. It's arguably diluted. So that's my first offering.
Yep.
The iPod.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
A sexy bit of kit.
Yep. And you know, completely game-changing in the consumer gadgetry market, mm-hmm. I think. My second gadget is the Motorola Razr.
Oh, look at you with your sexy bits of kit.
I've gone
I thought you were going to go... You're going Razr. Interesting. That laser-etched keyboard.
Yeah.
That incredible aluminium wafer-thin keyboard.
Mm. Well, it was design at its peak, I think, really, this was. Launched in 2004, a big year for all of us. It went to sell over 130 million units, making it one of the biggest selling phones ever. But it wasn't just about numbers. It was about how it made you feel. I mean, I'm all about the feel for things, as you know. Incredibly thin, beautifully engineered, and that satisfying flip to answer the call. Oh. I love that. I love a flip phone. This was a phone that people really wanted to have. It was a fashion statement. It was identity. It was status. And now if you look at modern smartphones, they're powerful, they're capable, but they kind of all look the same. I think, you know, they just all have that same sort of square, flat slab of glass look about them. The Razr, though, had character. You knew it instantly. You felt it when you used it. It made everyday actions like answering call feel a bit special, a bit sci-fi as well, wasn't it? You know, with the flip. And that's something I think modern devices have lost a little bit and they lack. So those are my two offerings. It's time to vote, kids.
Oh, it's a tricky one.
Remember, we can't vote for our own.
Why would we not vote for that? I just want to know. Why are we saying
we've had this before.
This is a game
and Susie
with no point.
Ended up voting for her own one.
When?
If I remember rightly, when we did this the last time.
No, we didn't.
That doesn't surprise me.
I didn't. What are you trying to say?
Par for the course.
What I just said.
Right.
and what is it? What's the defining statement? Is that the
it's
best?
It's our favourite gadget of the noughties.
Okay, my two gadgets were the Xbox 360 and the Bluetooth headset.
My two were the Flip Video and the BlackBerry.
My two were the Nikon D3 and the USB drive.
And my two were the iPod and the Motorola Razr. Okay, so, you pick first. Pick one.
Thanks.
One out of six, because you can't pick your own.
Can I just say, I really was at a shit school. I've forgotten the rules.
just pick one.
Just pick one.
Just one out of all of those.
Yeah. But not yours.
I never had one. I wanted one. It's the iPod.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's the iPod, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Shall I go then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the iPod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I think if I was to be given one, I would appreciate the iPod most.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that was pretty simple and quick, wasn't
it? I don't even need to. I probably would, because I can't pick my own, which obviously I would. Well, I'm just going to pick my own.
No, I'm not.
I'd pick the Xbox. I'd go Xbox. So the iPod is the winner.
Well done.
Very worthy. Well, don't take it personally. So for another week, that is it on the Gadget Show podcast. But before we go, a huge thank you to the people keeping this podcast fully powered, our brilliant Patreon supporters. Jace, take it away.
Oh, I love this bit. Lincoln Brown, Jonathan Williams, Jeff Dennis, Chris Robbers, Samuel Locker, Damo MC. I still think that should be MC Damo. Nigel Harrison, QITB, Logan Gray, Chris Dennitz, Gavin Warnock. Stuart White, Paul Burks, Beano Engineer, Gareth Kirk, Colin Wharton, The Gadget Gremlin, Stuart Reinhardt, and Matthew Downs.
And Maxwell Fluckiger, Stefan Bates, Adam White, Havoc, Dan Tainton, Adam Carter, Tom Sanders, Damien Deeks, Chris Dalrymple, Rick Ellison, Kev Barnes, Yosef Ali, Ian Wilson, Sam Supersonic, Justin Strong, Wackerman, Barry Music Tech Info.
Not forgetting Brian Mark Wild, Barclay Thompson, Stephen Brandom, Zamir, Andrew Brandt, Jared, Fluky D, I got him this time, Paul Sharrock, Mark, just Mark, Colin Taylor, Alan Williams, Chris Hughes, Mark Budnarowski, Peter Pinner, Dave Green, Ren Mandagorn, Dave McHugh.
And rounding off the list very nicely from the Gadget Show crew, Matthew Riley, Chris Cool, Stephen Green, Tall Man with Glasses, Andrew Bamford, Duncan Bell, Colin Jones, Gordon Packer, Richard Martin, Simon Ryland, Darren McCracken, Philip Eddington, Anthony White, Skewy Cat, Danny Rushton, Matt Howarth. Genuinely, we couldn't do this without you, so thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It means a great deal. Thanks, guys.
And if you fancy joining this lot, you'll get bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes bits, that's BTSBs, and ad-free listening.
And you'll be entered, of course, into the draw. That's for the rather tasty £5,000 CEX prize fund.
Oh, yeah. The Gadget Show competition is back. All you've got to do to get all of that and enter the comp is head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and get involved. What can we say?
Yep.
It's been amazing. Guys.
See you next time. Thank you for coming, you guys.
Absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Whoop, whoop.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.